text, Luke chapter 18, verse 9. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted."
Well, it's my job to tell you about Jesus now. There was a recent poll done by a non-Christian organisation, and they asked 3,000 British people which dead person they would most like to meet. Guess who came top of the poll? To the surprise of the pollsters, Jesus Christ came top of the poll. One in three British people would like, if they could have a choice of meeting a dead person, to meet Jesus Christ. He came just above Princess Diana, and Shakespeare came third, and Einstein came fourth, and Marilyn Monroe came fifth. And John Lennon, who some years ago boasted that he was more famous than Jesus, wasn't even in the top ten. Well, I've got some great news. Of all these dead people who people in Britain would most like to meet, Jesus Christ is the only one we can meet and the only one that we will meet. Every one of us. Because Jesus Christ has defeated death. The heart of the Christian faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not a legend. Legends take ages to develop. Things like King Arthur and Robin Hood take ages to develop. The New Testament was written by contemporaries of Jesus Christ, who were around at the same time as him. It was written by eyewitnesses or by people who tell us that they consulted eyewitnesses. They were willing to die for what they'd written. They died for what they believed. Their belief transformed their lives. They saw the empty tomb of Jesus. They saw his appearances, they saw him, they touched him, they spoke to him, and they wrote down what they'd seen. They were willing to die for it. They got nothing out of it at all, other than a very difficult life or a martyr's death. So I'm glad to be able to tell you that you can meet Jesus Christ, and you will meet Jesus Christ. The resurrection proves that. Here at Pastory Church we have regular sessions called Christianity Explored. They're for people who don't know anything about the Christian faith, would like to learn a bit more. They're for people who may have questions about the Christian faith, may even be entirely sceptical about it. That's all right, doesn't matter, you can come and ask your question. Or it might be for people who just want a refresher course in the Christian faith. The next Christianity Explored is in September. We've got the silly season between now and September. So we can't really start it, unfortunately, until September. But if you're interested in joining the Christianity Explored, it's about six evenings of your life to devote to asking questions about Jesus, finding out what Christians believe about Jesus. Not a lot to ask. And the next session starts in September. So if you'd like to be informed about that, speak to me or speak to anybody you know from pastry to tell me, and we'll make sure that you are told exactly when the next Christianity Explored is starting. It'll be in September, but I'm not sure at the moment whether it'll be a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock or a Thursday evening at 8 o'clock. We'll see. Okay. So that's the Christianity Explored. Just to get you started, I'd like to tell you one of the stories that Jesus told. He told stories. That was one of the things that he did. He taught by telling stories. And we call these stories parables. And these parables, these stories, are designed to shock people. They're designed to make people sit up and be shocked. So I hope I'm going to shock you tonight, because that's the point of the parable. If I don't shock you, I've failed. And somebody has said that the parables are stories with a sting in the tail. There's always a sting in the tail. And I'd like to tell you the story that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the tax collector. First of all, I need to tell you just what the Pharisees were and what the tax collectors were. Start with the Pharisees. A Pharisee was a member of a small group of highly respected, very strict Jews. They were a kind of religious pressure group. And their aim was to encourage the nation of Israel to keep the religious rules. They were a kind of Jewish Taliban. They didn't want Israel to compromise with the world. Many Jews had compromised with the world. The world had changed. Israel had been conquered by the Romans. It was now occupied by Roman armies, non-Jews. They allowed a half-Jewish king called Herod to rule as long as he did exactly what they told him. He ruled in Galilee where Jesus lived. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, ruled further south in Judea and Jerusalem. You probably heard of Pontius Pilate. And if you wanted to get on, you compromised. But the Pharisees refused to compromise. And they frowned on anyone who did. And they thought that if only Israel would just keep God's rules, God would intervene and rescue his people from Rome and punish the Romans and kick them out of the country. And he'd punish everybody who'd compromised with the Romans as well. And they weren't at all sure about Jesus, because Jesus was a bit slack with the rules. He was very slack when it came to keeping the Sabbath, so they thought. I mean, they really went to town on the Sabbath. I mean, the Old Testament just said, keep the Sabbath, it's special, it's holy. They said, you must not eat an egg that has been laid on the Sabbath, because the egg had worked. You must not pluck a grey hair out on the Sabbath, because that is weeding. And you must not comb your hair on the Sabbath, because that's ploughing. And if your house caught on fire, you were to wear as many clothes as you liked out of the house, but you couldn't carry any clothes out of the house because that was carrying a burden. So you put three or four hats on, four or five suits, five or six pairs of trousers, and staggered out of the house if your house caught fire on the Sabbath day. And Jesus didn't go in for all that sort of stuff. And they thought he was a bit slack about the Sabbath and a bit slack about fasting and all this purification and washing and so on that they went in for. And mixing with the riffraff. Jesus didn't seem to bother too much about who he mixed with. So the Pharisees weren't too sure about Jesus at all. Okay, so that's the Pharisee. The other person in this story is a tax collector. Now, no one loves tax collectors or traffic wardens. I'm not sure that there were any traffic wardens in New Testament times. I suppose you could clamp a donkey. But tax collectors were even worse then than they are now. I mean, there may be a tax collector here. I mean, jolly good if you're a tax collector. But tax collectors in New Testament times were very different from what they are now. They were the opposite end of the religious spectrum from the Pharisees. In other words, they had very definitely compromised. They actually worked for the enemy. They worked for Herod. They worked for Rome. They were collaborators with the enemy. If you've read that new book that's just come out called D-Day, I read books like that, you'll see photographs in that book of French women with their heads shaved after the war. Their heads were shaved because they collaborated with the German soldier. They were traitors. The tax collectors were collaborators with the enemy. They mixed with non-Jews. They collected money from their own people for the occupying army. They had no respect for the rules at all. And some of them did quite well for themselves out of their tax collecting. A bit like some MPs who live luxurious lifestyles at the expense of us taxpayers. So some tax collectors, not all of them, but some tax collectors lived luxurious lives at the expense of the people they taxed. So they were not popular. Everybody hated tax collectors, and Pharisees despised them. Well, this is a story about a tax collector and a Pharisee. And they both went to the temple to pray. You can imagine what Jesus' hearers thought. What a nerve for a tax collector to go to God's holy temple to pray. What makes him think that his prayer is going to be acceptable to God? So this story is obviously going to be a story about copy the Pharisee, don't copy the tax collector. We're allowed to overhear what they prayed. And the Pharisee stood in a prominent place, probably, and he prayed like this. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not a robber. I'm not an evildoer. And the word for evil doing there probably means extortion, taking more money off people than he should. And he probably had an eye on this tax collector. I'm not a robber. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. And tax collectors, well, they often mixed with prostitutes. There are references in the Gospels to tax collectors and prostitutes. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm not even like this tax collector who's got the nerve to turn up for prayers at the temple. I fast twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. The Pharisees fasted. The Old Testament only had one fast a year, actually, the Day of Atonement. But the Pharisees fasted twice a week. They were really keen. And I tithe everything I possess. Tithing is giving a tenth of everything to God. And they really went in for tithing in a big way. Jesus said they actually tithed their herbs, you know, the herbs and the spices. They even tithed them. They were scrupulous. They were really keen on keeping the rules. Well, the Pharisee was pretty sure that his prayer had been heard. He felt very good about his trip to the temple. And he would have been astonished if anybody had told him that he had been completely wasting his time. He was confident in his own righteousness, says Jesus. Notice what he was doing. He was concentrating on the sins he hadn't committed. He wasn't thinking about the sins that he was guilty of and that he had brushed under the carpet. Sins like looking down on tax collectors, for instance. He concentrated on the sins he hadn't committed. I'm not a robber, not an extortioner, not an adulterer. He concentrated on the sins he hadn't committed. And even those he thought he hadn't committed, he probably had. Take adultery, for instance. I'm not an adulterer. No? Well, Jesus deals with adultery in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, behind every act of adultery, there is lust. There is sexual greed. There's fantasies going on in the mind and the imagination. People don't just get up in the morning and say, what shall I do today? I know, I won't commit adultery. There's been things going on in their hearts that get them to the point where they're unfaithful to their wife. Commit adultery. And Jesus said, the things that are going on in our hearts, the things that go on in people's hearts who do commit adultery are actually going on in all our hearts. Some people have the nerve to actually commit adultery or the opportunity to commit adultery. Other people don't. But those things that lead to adultery are in every heart. And Jesus even said, even the commandment you shall not kill. We think we've kept that. But behind every act of murder, there's jealousy, there's hatred, there's anger, There's the refusal to be reconciled to somebody. So Jesus actually said, if you're angry with somebody without cause, if you just don't like them, if you hate them, if you've got a heart full of malice, if you're really pleased when something goes wrong in their lives, or if you won't be reconciled to somebody. You know, you've got somebody and there's a rift between you and you won't go and put that rift right. Well, it's not actually murder, but it's on the way to murder in God's sight. Okay, so there's things in our hearts going on that lead to all kinds of sin. Sin is in the heart. And of course, the Pharisee didn't think about that at all. So, what did he do? He concentrated on the sins he thought he hadn't committed. And the other thing he did was that he compared himself with somebody who was worse than himself. We always do, don't we? Not like this tax collector. We can always find somebody who's worse than ourselves. And by concentrating on them, it makes us feel better about ourselves. It causes us to avoid facing up to our own guilt. What about this outcry about MPs' expenses? Well, it is. It's terrible. I'm not defending it at all. Not all MPs. There are some great exceptions, one of whom is our own local MP, I'm glad to say. But this outcry, day after day after day, for, was it a month or 6 weeks? I don't know. About MPs' expenses. Absolutely disgraceful, absolutely disgusting, all these self-righteous people. As if MPs were the only people who were not completely honest about their expenses. Or as if we knew that if we had the opportunities that they had, if we had been in their position, we wouldn't have bent the rules. And we wouldn't have got as much as we could out of the system. Jesus called it finding specks in your brother's eye when you've got a beam in your own. Makes you feel better about the beam in your own eye if you can look for specks in somebody else's. You know, I'm willing to bet, not that I'm a betting man. I thank God that I'm not a betting man. I'm willing to bet there are people here who are thinking, thank God I'm not like that Pharisee. Well, if there are people here like that, you've still missed the point, haven't you? Okay. The tax collector stood at a distance, not in a prominent place. He wouldn't lift his eyes up to heaven, which is how Jews prayed in those days. They didn't close their eyes. They actually opened their eyes and looked up to heaven. Closing your eyes is just a tradition that's developed. Everybody does it. In fact, if you actually look at a congregation, if you're coming in late and you're standing in the foyer and you look at the congregation, you spot those who haven't got their eyes closed. And you think, a bit dodgy. But there's absolutely nothing in the Bible about closing your eyes when you pray. Jesus looked up to heaven when he prayed. This tax collector wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smote on his breast. He hit his chest. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In other words, please, God, do not punish me as I deserve to be punished. Be merciful to me. Forgive me instead of punishing me. Please, God. Whose prayer was heard? Who went home justified, which means right with God, in a right relationship with God? Not the Pharisee. Jesus said the tax collector went home right with God. Because he said everyone who exalts himself will be humbled and everybody who humbles himself will be exalted. If you want to pray and if you want your prayers to be heard, you've got to be humble. You don't pray if you want to tell God what he ought to do. Or if you want to express your resentment to him because he hasn't done what you think he should have done. That's not how you pray. We've got to be humble if we want to pray. And we've got to be humble not just because we're human, don't really know anything. We've got to be humble because we're sinners. We deserve punishment. Now, what is sin? It's very important that you understand what sin is. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you can't pray like that, you can't pray at all, Jesus is saying in this parable. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What does that mean? What is sin? Well, sin is an attitude towards God. It's an attitude of resentment and rebellion and pride that leads you to ignore God or disobey God or deny God or whatever. I've, for the last year or so, often said this, and those who come regularly will be bored silly with this, but I'll say it again. Sin, S-I-N, is S, shove off God. Shove off God. I'm in charge. N, no to your ways. Shove off God. I'm in charge of my life. No to your ways. That's what sin is. And sin leads us to disobey the God who we resent and who we rebel against. And obviously, because we're rebels, what do rebels need? They need mercy. They need mercy from the one against whom they've rebelled and who has it in his power to punish them. They need mercy. So if you want your prayers to be heard, you've got to come to God for mercy. You come to God troubled by your own sin, not the sins of other people. That won't get you anywhere. Repentance is not confessing other people's sins, it's confessing your own sin. They came to the temple to pray. Probably they came at the hour of prayer. There were 2 hours of prayer every day, one in the morning, one at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they were the hours when the sacrifice was offered, the 2 sacrifices, morning and evening sacrifice. And the whole point of sacrifice was that an animal, a lamb, would take the punishment in place of the sinner. A lamb would be killed, it would be sacrificed every morning and every evening. It went on day after day after day for hundreds of years. Every morning, every evening, the morning and the evening hour of prayer. And they would go to the temple at this hour of sacrifice. It was probably as this sacrifice that was being offered that the tax collector said, God, don't punish me as I deserve. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And those sacrifices in the temple pointed forward, the rest of the Bible tells us, to the one great sacrifice for our sins, which Jesus offered when he died on the cross. Jesus was without sin, he was sinless, and he took the punishment for all those who will put their faith and trust in him, like this tax collector. Doesn't matter how bad they are, if they will put their faith in him, he died for them. And it's the only way to come to God. It's the only way to approach God. If you want to pray, and if you want your prayers to be heard, you've got to go to God trusting that Saviour, trusting that sacrifice. Somebody said that this tax collector is a bit like somebody who goes to the doctor saying, Doctor, doctor, I'm in perfect health, I'm glad to say. I have no problem at all. Everything seems to be functioning normally. What will the doctor say to him? He'll say, next. What are you here for? Can't do anything for you? I mean, he could at least have asked the doctor for a check-over. Give me a check-over. Jesus was criticized for eating and drinking with tax collectors like this chap. And when the Pharisees criticized him for eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, he came out with a tremendous punchline. One of Jesus' great punchlines. He was good at punchlines. He said, it's not the healthy you need a sick. It's not the healthy, sorry. It's not the healthy you need a doctor. It's the sick. It's not the healthy you need a doctor. It's the sick. I haven't come to call the righteous. I've come for the sinners. He didn't mean that there actually were any righteous people. He thought we were all sinners. He's come for people who know they're sick. He's come for those who know they've sinned and who need his help and who need his forgiveness. And incidentally, that's why churches are full of sinners. Sometimes people say, I'm not going to go to church. They're as bad as me. In fact, they're worse than me, some of them. Full of hypocrites, the church. Absolutely right. How right you are. That's why we're here. It's a bit like a hospital. You know, what would you say of a person who said, I'm not going to a hospital, it's full of sick people. Well, of course it is. That's what hospitals are for. What are churches for? They're for sinners who need to be forgiven. Full of hypocrites, the church. Absolutely right. You're looking at one now. I like people to think I'm better than I really am. Don't you? Don't you? Come and join us. One more hypocrite. Great. Forgiven hypocrite. Forgiven hypocrites. That's the difference. Forgiven sinners. Forgiven hypocrites. Wanting to be a bit better, slowly, through Jesus' help. But forgiven. And grateful to God for his mercy. That's what a Christian is. So, I've told you about Jesus. And if you're interested in finding a bit more, do come to the Christianity Explored in September.